The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
Pornography and the pornification of our culture and the struggles that our young people, including and maybe especially our young people who come to us with good hearts from great families and who want to really make a go of it for Christ, who want to live their faith vibrantly and well. Pornography is something which just really ensnares the hearts and minds of young people in a super insidious way. And, you know, whenever people of a certain age, you know, you and me, when we're talking about it, Drew, we'll talk about how difficult it was back in our day when we were young to come across pornographic material. You know, you could come by it, but it wasn't something that was sort of ubiquitous and all over and that you could stumble on almost accidentally. The internet has changed all of that.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It really has. That, of course, was Monsignor James Shea. If you have some young children who are listening to this right now, you may want to just turn off your radio. I'm going to be talking about an issue that could be sensitive to younger ears, and depending on how you want to raise your children, you may not want to hear some of this discussion. But I've talked about it in the past, but there was something that came across across my plate recently, and I thought, man, I have to talk about this. I got to share this with you. And it's never a fun thing to talk about porn because really it's become an elephant in the room that everyone is trying to ignore. And you just cannot ignore statistics like these. Let me share a couple of these that I saw, okay? This comes from Covenant Eyes, good organization out there, right? They say that more than 28,000 users are watching pornography every second. 28,000 users. I actually thought that was low. I thought it'd be higher than that. But that's every second, okay? 28,000, multiply that by 60. That's how many in a minute, right? More than 3,000 is spent on porn every second on the internet. 88% of scenes in porn films, they say, contain acts of physical aggression. 49% of the scenes contain verbal aggression. 90% of teens and 96% of young adults are either encouraging, accepting, or neutral when they talk about porn with their friends. And this is part of the problem. We'll break it all down for you, but it really has become mainstream, hasn't it? When you've got 9 out of 10 teens, 96% of young adults encouraging the use of it, accepting it as normal, right? Or just being downright neutral on it when they talk about it as if, yeah, it's what it is. Well, you know what? They're growing up with it. You know, it's been on their cell phone since they could log on to that cell phone or their tablet or their computer. We are living really at a moment in history, a line of demarcation where you can look at the pre-porn era and the post-porn era and what ultimately plays out. 55% of adults, 25% and older believe that porn is wrong. Only 55% of adults 25 and older believe it's wrong. That's even higher than I thought it would be. Too. Teens and young adults between the ages of 13 and 24 believe not recycling is worse than viewing pornography. So how do you stand? Let me ask you that question. What's worse, all right, viewing pornography or not recycling? Okay. Teens and young adults between the ages of 13 and 24, this is a very young demographic, see recycling worse than pornography. And yet we know what it does to the mind. We know the addictive spirit and nature of this. We know what it does to relationships. We know how it is never satisfying and how it only leads to greater darkness and greater violence and greater aggression into greater deviancy. And with that, I mean, when you move away from the way God has ordained things, come real problems. And I think a lot of marriages suffer from this right now. I think a lot of men would love to be free from it, who are addicted to it. A lot of spouses the same way. But look, this is the day. This is the culture that we're living in today, right? Somebody once coined the phrase pornified. I think that's a great term. That we are in a pornified culture. It's such a great way of putting it. It's where degradation, right? Degradation in the use of the human person for our own personal pleasure is normal. It's accepted like it's normal, right? You know, you've got to think whenever you engage or you look at this, that's somebody else's son or daughter, right? You know, that could be your child. I mean, that could radically change things. If you're struggling with pornography today, I'm glad you tuned in. If you've got kids, I'm glad you tuned in, because there's a lot for us to talk about. This is, we're seeing a lot of physical problems, too. And gentlemen, this is a wake-up call for you, perhaps. If you are suffering with erectile dysfunction, right, you're wondering, man, I don't know what's going on here. It could be because you've been exposed to too much porn. There are young men in their 20s who are suffering from ED right now. 20-year-old kids. That to me is just, it's mind-numbing. But, you know, there is a physiology that goes into this practice and behavior. You know, these guys expect the girls also to do what they see women do in these videos. Women think that they should do this or watch it with their partner, right? Their boyfriend or their husband, whatever. And yet so many of these women, something that I try to talk about on the program, something that is often invisible, most people don't know. I don't hold them responsible for this. But most of these women who are in these videos being degraded or suffering in, you know, some other ways, that is a result of women who have been sexually trafficked. So here's an interesting question for you. Could all of this actually be contributing to the problem that we're seeing today, not just with the dysfunction, the ED, the dysfunction in relationships, but could it also be contributing to these gender issues? And again, I go back to that line of demarcation I talked about a few minutes ago. Is it possible? I mean, we can look back. I think sociologists, I think psychologists, I think many people in the future will look back and see these radical changes, right? On so many different fronts. But the issue of gender, I've been scratching my head on, wondering, you know, why has this become so front and center? Why are we pushing this so hard? What is it that so many people are confused? Is it that it's always been this way and now they're just articulating it? Or is it possible that pornography has contributed to the problem that we're seeing with gender issues? Is it possible that, I don't know, the total confusion brought about by porn is making people question their sexuality? Is it disorienting young men, young women? You know, making them question. Is it sending them down maybe a path that they should not be going down because they saw something that was, you know, titillating at the time, exciting to them, and now they're confused? That's the premise of a very interesting Twitter thread. We've decided to run this by a very gifted physician, Dr. Meg Meeker. She's also a mother and a best-selling author of a number of different books and one of our nation's leading authorities on parenting and teens and children and health. So I couldn't think of anybody better to have join us for the conversation. And if you want to join us, you can get on board too. The number's 888-914-9149. Feel free to call in with your questions, your comments, your own experiences too. I'd love to hear those. It's a delight to have with me Dr. Meg Meeker. You can find her online at meekerparenting.com. Doctor, thanks for your time today. Always a delight to have you here.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, Drew. I don't want to say it's a great topic. It's a very important topic that we need to discuss because it's a huge issue. And yeah, I agreed with everything you just said. So I kept nodding my head. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, one of my producers actually saw this Twitter thread and sent it to me. And I said, man, we got to talk about that. That you know, there's such confusion. And there's something about becoming desensitized, being numb to the reality of what this is doing. You know, it's like being in freezing water. It hurts at first, but after a while you become numb and you don't feel anything. And that's what we're seeing here with I think, pornography. It has just desensitized so many people to the true destructive nature of it. How would you overdose, if you would, on porn, if you will, and lead to the question of, let's say, their sexual identity. I mean, is watching too much of this causing this type of confusion, whether they're male or female? Is it the fact that they're just being inundated with this? It's become common? I mean, your thoughts, or is it just maybe one or two times it does the same thing? How do you see it contributing to this gender dysphoria?
Well, I think it contributes for sure. And I think what's happening, honestly, if we back up a little bit, is there's a huge shift in our world view. You and I see the body as holy, as the temple of God. So we approach our body and our sexuality completely differently from somebody who doesn't believe in God, or maybe believes in him in a nominal way. So they perceive their body is just utilitarian. Sexual activity is utilitarian. It's based around feelings. And if your feelings direct you in one direction, go with it. If they direct you in another direction, then go with that. You know, we see this with the disgusting looking at the pedophilia now, and sort of they want to, quote, destigmatize it, which kind of makes me nauseated. But anyway, it absolutely does, because what happens when people start to view their sexuality as primarily based on feelings and thoughts, it can get twisted very, very fast. And that's where we're seeing with the transgender movement. And make no mistake, you know, a lot of it is a fad. It really is, because we didn't go from 0 to 80 overnight for no reason. It just, you know, I practiced medicine over 30 years, and we just saw this burgeoning transgenderism in the past 5 years. So it all has to do with how we perceive our bodies, what we decide we're going to do with our feelings, that we're going to give our feelings a lot of power, and then also believing that our sexual orientation, our gender identity, is within our control and we're in charge of it. God isn't in charge. But we know God is in charge because he gave us the genes we have. And so it all, you know, pornography just adds to all this and continues to twist and confuse us.
Yeah, that's so true. My guest today, Dr. Meg Meeker, if you want to get in, share your story or ask your question, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 888-914-9149. Laura is listening in Phoenix, Arizona. Doctor, she wants to comment and I think share part of her story. Hi, Laura.
Hey, how are you?
We're great.
Yeah,
thanks.
Pornography, I have is a very tender subject with me. I was married for 17 years when I found out my husband was very addicted to it, and tried 3 years to make it work. My mom said, I quote her to this day, in 1996 when the AOL dial-up internet came, my mom said, Satan just got into everyone's home. And I believe that, sadly, very sadly.
So tell me about your marriage. What happened? Did it end? Did you guys work it out?
No, I tried for 3 years to get into counseling. We're both Catholic. It was a Catholic wedding. We have three children. And he promised, he made, you know, these resolutions that he was going to do 5 things for me, and he basically never did one. So, you know, go to a 12-step support group. You know, let's rebuild the trust by, you know, building our relationship. You know, he said he would, you know, make the bed the rest of our marriage, so I would stay with him and make me coffee. But, yeah, that lasted for about 6 months. I saw a really delightful change. It was communication. But then he bought a laptop. He wouldn't tell me the password. And it basically, I said, that's it. I knew in my heart it was just going to take me down. So, yeah.
Hey, did he want to share this with you? Did he bring it into the marriage as well?
I didn't know. No, what I know after the fact when we got into counseling is that his mother and his father openly put they had it, not openly, but in their bedroom, they had magazines. And apparently he was an only child, and while his mom and dad were at work, he said that he found it when he was 12 years old, and so basically he built a relationship with images and self-satisfaction. And so, yeah, he was an awfully quiet person. you know, they say that addicts kind of stop developing emotionally at the age when they start using. So, I mean, I could never pinpoint what was wrong with our marriage. I knew there was something wrong, but he wasn't a smoker, a drinker. You know, he was a lawyer, for God's sake. We were in mass every Sunday with our kids in Catholic school. I couldn't figure it out, you know.
It was probably a torment for him, too. I'm sure he wanted freedom from it as well and live a good family life. Doctor, let me bring you into the conversation. You heard Laura, what she went through. I don't know how unusual her situation is, but I think more than ever, this is going to be more common, that men are going to go into relationships now addicted to pornography. What's the average age of exposure? I heard it was like 14, or then I heard it was 12, then I heard it was like 11 for some kids. seeing their first pornographic image. And if anyone has ever looked at it, they'll remember the very first time they ever saw that image because mm-hmm. it's seared into your mind. Doctor, yeah. your thoughts for Laura?
Yeah, I think I've read the average age of exposure now is down to 9. And the reason wow. for that is kids aren't looking for it. It comes to them. And there is a reason it comes to them because, marketers of it or, anybody, they make it so that, I don't know how an algorithm, so that if you, for instance, go and you Google trucks or even little trucks, it picks up on it and it shoots you porn. I think that what we see, first of all, I totally agree with you. This is a profound spiritual darkness. And I believe that Satan is, if he can change a man's sexuality and view of sex, he changes and crushes their soul. It goes so deep. And you think about that sex is between a married couple is probably the one exclusive behavior that we have. Nobody else is to be in there except the married couple. When you bring other people in, pornography, somebody having an affair, it cracks that marriage and it just drives people apart. And again, I really do feel badly for men who are addicted because it's so highly addictive, it's hard to get away from. It's kind of like an eating disorder. You know, you're always around food. These guys are always on the internet because of their work or whatever. And even if they say, I'm not going to do porn anymore, it comes to them. And that's what I mean. It's really satanic. I will tell you, I have spoken with married couples who believe that pornography is fine in their marriage because they feel more sexual satisfaction with porn than they do to one another. So this wow. is how it has it sort of whittled down to it's an experience. It's a pleasure. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. And that's all it is. And that's because they view the body as just a body with experiences and feelings and pleasures. And that's it. And that's very sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Laura, thank you for calling and for sharing with us and being so honest. I'm sure you're not alone. There's a lot of other people who walked in your shoes. But thank you. I hope things are working out for you now in the not too distant future. I hope you find somebody else. Keith in Carlsbad, California. Thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Hey, how are you?
Hey, well, thanks. Thanks for calling.
Good. Yeah, I actually don't even know this show. I was just flipping through the radio and
I love it.
And heard your program and found it fascinating. So,
Keith, I'm glad you called.
Talking about the correlation. Thank you. I was just interested in, you were fascinating about the correlation between same-sex attraction and pornography usage. And one of my initial thoughts was going back to the Bible. I believe it's a religious radio station. If I'm correct.
Sure. This is called Relevant Radio. Yeah. You found it. So set it to your dial because we're on every day. Every afternoon
Great.
I do a current event news-driven show, and we talk about all sorts of things. We happen to be Catholic, so I try to look at the moral underpinning to whatever the issues are and what threatens us. Pornography certainly falls into that category. So I think it's God's providence. You stumbled on us. But
yeah.
Go right ahead. Love to hear what you got to say.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Romans 1, where Paul is talking about people who are kind of going a path, and God gave them over to their shameful lusts. Kind of, if you do proper exegesis, I think it's those of a depraved mind who've already dabbled in things. The natural progression, or I guess degression, would be deeper and deeper into perversion, into issues like gender identity. So I think we're spot on, not only from a psychological perspective, but I think also from a spiritual perspective as well, that the further we deviate from the sexual norm or what God intended, the more quickly things like gender confusion, same-sex attraction, I think a lot of those are a natural next step in that. So.
Well, Dr. Beaker, I'll let you pick up on that point. Keith, first of all, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. As I said, join us every day. We're here on every afternoon, California there from noon to 3. Let's pick it up on his point there. You heard what he had to say. Do you see that connection?
I do. And I think, first of all, I highly agree. It's a spiritual warfare issue. It's Satan. And I think that if you could take someone's sexuality down, you can crush a nation, honestly and truly. But I do believe it has to do with sexuality and our view of sexual activity. What's happening now is we're tending to, quote, normalize it all. And there's a great effort to say, this is what's normal. This is okay. It's okay for your marriage. Just leave us alone. And when you say that over and over, particularly to young people, they begin to accept that it really is normal, because they change the thinking of the younger people. And even to, you know, somebody in their 20s and 30s, they learn to accept that a twisted sexuality and sexual activity is the norm. So just go with it. And we as parents have to say to our kids very boldly, no, it is not the norm. This is not how God intended us to live. And here's what I think kids will listen to. And this is what I do with kids in my practice. To approach sexual activity and sexuality is far more than just sex. It's far more than just, it has to do with you as a whole person. It's the sexuality and sexual activity is part of who you are. But the biggest part of who we are and the most important part of who we are is a child of God. And sort of start to perceive these things in a larger context. And say, you know, you were created by God for a certain way and a certain life and this kind of a thing, to honor yourself. And this doesn't fit in there. But without that, it's hard to counter the messages of the culture, which is, look, this feels good. You have a right to your feelings. You have a right to your pleasure. Anything you do is okay. Kids know that's not right. And when we tell them that they are much bigger than their sexuality and sexual activity, they like it because it resonates with them. And we're telling them they're much bigger than this. And that's truth. And kids, even without a faith, recognize truth, and they love it. So parents, don't be afraid to tell your kids how you really feel about this whole issue.
Yeah. My guest, Dr. Meg Meeker-Key, thank you for calling. We'll go back to the phones, too. If you want to join us or if you're on hold, it's a good time to get in as well. We're taking a look at the effects of pornography. I know we've talked about this in the past, but its effect on gender fluidity right now, homosexual inclination, what it does actually physiologically, also just to the brain. Can you find freedom from it? Is there healing? The answer to that is yes. Saints have talked about it. There's some great organizations out there that can offer you help as well. But here's a number if you want to get in, okay? It's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. When we come back, maybe I'll share some of that tweet that was sent over to us here, kind of springboarded into this conversation. But love to hear from you as well. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us.
Did you like what Drew and the guest had to say? Get caught up on this conversation and all the others by going to the Relevant Radio Archives. Just search for The Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Last time you were here, and I know you've spoken about this in the past, you talked about going through a period of being addicted to porn.
Yes.
I wonder and it's funny because during the break you were saying that you've been married 30 years, which is incredible. At what point in your marriage did that come upon you?
Oh, well, when my wife walked out. Yeah, she was like, I'm done with you. And, you know, it was something that the porn use led to me being unfaithful years earlier.
Ah, okay.
And what happened was, after years of hiding and not saying anything, she confronted me. She was like, what is it I don't know about you, Terry Crews? And I told her.
Wow.
And she was like, that's it, I'm out. And I was like, you know what, then go on, bye. And you know what happened? I was literally thinking, my God, you know what, it's her fault, isn't it? But you know, I realized it was me.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, I knew I had to change. And I had a friend who told me, he said, you need to get better for you, man. And I went to rehab. I was like, I need to break this. And it was something that, it was a stronghold, but I thank God I'm out of it. And I learned how to you know, you learn that you've learned a lot of wrong things. You know what I mean? Right. And I learned to correct them. And now my wife and I are better than ever. We're back together, super strong. And you know, it's wild because you can't keep secrets in a relationship.
Yeah, I love that. Can't do that.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I love that too. That was Terry Crews on the Andy Cohen Show. And I just think it takes a lot of courage for somebody to come out very publicly and talk about, you know, the crosses, the struggles, the difficulties that they often have. And pornography so often is one of those very hidden things. You know, you look around your church, you look around your office, you look around, you know, wherever you might be. 3 out of 4 men probably have engaged in pornography, if not that day, week. I mean, the numbers are just staggering. Just staggering. And it is addictive. They say that porn is worse than crack. Internet pornography, it really is the new crack. It's a new crack cocaine. It's leading to addiction. As you heard from him, it's leading to the destruction of marriages, to misogyny, to pedophilia, to erectile dysfunction amongst 20-year-old kids, amongst men in general. It has a physiological impact, and pornography addicts. It addicts you to something that only gets worse, right? It doesn't get better. It's a slippery slope. And, you know, I've spoken to many addicts about this. They have a very difficult time recovering from their addiction. They do. Very difficult time from this. But there is hope out there, and we do want to talk about that. There's a whole brain science to pornography and how it changes the brain. There was a group out there called, I'll have to look it up. Something Your Sexual Health. It's done by the Hahnemans. Maybe you can look that up for me, Maggie, during the break, because I know that it's Jeannie and Bruce Hahneman. And I'm just zoning on the very first word. Relive your sexual health. Or it's something with your sexual health. There's some sort of freedom. But they deal with the brain science of it. Her husband was addicted to pornography, and now they've made it a ministry to go ahead and to help others find freedom. And Reclaim. Thank you. Reclaim Your Sexual Health. Great website. I know my guest, Dr. Meg Meeker, has one as well, but Reclaim Your Sexual Health. You should check them out, especially if you find that, you know, your mind is changing, your brain is changing, because they say Bruce became forgetful. There were all these different addictive behaviors and weird personality quirks and changes that took place, clearly affected the relationship. But they're good, God-fearing people, and they're fine today, and they're helping a lot of people. But you know, there's a lot of advances in neuroscience. And it really, when it comes to the brain, this is something that I think is so often overlooked. You think, I can walk away from this. You know that pornographic visual images imprint and they alter the brain. They trigger this instant, involuntary, but lasting biochemical memory trail. That's what Bruce and Jeannie talk about, you know. And once that new chemical pathway is established, I think that's why it's so hard, so difficult to delete. It's so difficult. Even when you know things are wrong, I had a friend who struggled with pornography. He's okay today, but it led him down a slippery slope. He not only looked at pornography, he started going to strip clubs. You know, he spent a lot of the money. He owned his own business. I think the business started to feel the effects of that. Maybe even lost it, maybe as a result of it. I don't know all those details. But, you know, it cost him his marriage. You know, he ended up, you know, going down a path of looking in other windows and all sorts of stuff. And he to this day is a friend of mine, and he's overcome this and he helps other people. But it's destructive. It'll lead you to jail in some cases. There's some men behind prison walls today because of that. So those neural pathways, those new neurochemical pathways, they're difficult to get around, but you can get away from them, you know. And joined today by a physician who knows this better than me. And Dr. Meeker, you might have some resources to help people too. I mean, you talk about cocaine and crack and, you know, a lot of these other drugs being addictive, alcohol. You know, pornography is in the same category, though people don't look at it like that. And sometimes you need to detox, and sometimes you really need to find the physiological healing as well as the psychological and the emotional healing that comes along with this. So, you know, for somebody who's struggling out there and listening right now, thinking, man, I've tried giving it up. I've tried doing X, Y, and Z. I just can't do it. It's too powerful. Plus, I enjoy it. So mm-hmm. What the heck? How do you talk to somebody like that? What advice would you give them?
Well, first of all, I think that, you know, New Life Clinic, Steve Arterburn's New Life Clinic, he wrote Every Man's Battle. They have an excellent track record for helping men combat pornography addiction and get them on the path to healing. So it absolutely can work. I think that a few steps that men can take now, and I know there are women addicted to pornography, but I think it's far more prevalent in men, is first of all, there should be no secrets between a husband and a wife, because whenever you have a secret, it's in dark and it's doing something to come between you. So if this is a secret for you, which probably is if you're in a marriage, there's a sense that you feel embarrassed or shameful admitting it. Now, you don't have to admit it first to your wife, but I would strongly encourage men, find a man that you trust, maybe in your parish, your church, wherever, and go to him and admit it and just say, this is an issue and I'm trying to get over it. Would you help me and help me be accountable? Would you meet with me once a month for breakfast? And you can ask me how it's going, because I think the first thing you need to do, just like with alcohol or anything else, is admit it's a problem. But a lot of men don't want to admit it's a problem because it's embarrassing. I mean, it's probably more embarrassing to admit that you're addicted to that other than alcohol or drugs, because we hear about all the. The other thing I would encourage men to do, and I know they're not going to like this, but get a flip phone or get a phone. I keep mentioning like the Gab phone, G-A-B-B, because what it does is it allows you to text and to call, but you can't get on the internet. And that is key, is just staying off the internet as much as you possibly can, because all the internet is going to do is tempt you more. So stay away from the temptation. My husband carries a flip phone. Now, he's not addicted, but he just said, I just don't want to deal with that. I don't want it to be any part of my life. So, you know, you stand back and you take those protective steps long before you get to that point. And the other thing that I would want to say, too, is your start to pornography, your introduction to pornography is usually fairly, quote unquote, mild porn. Okay. But that's like a gateway entrance into porn, because it doesn't take that long before you've gone down this path where you're in really twisted porn, and you can actually get into child porn and all this kind of stuff. So it's not like you get addicted and you stay at one level. It takes you to a darker and a darker place. Yeah. And then sometimes you're so far down, you think, I can't ever get out of this, but you can. But it first starts with coming out of the secret and telling one person.
Yeah, it's really true, Doctor. I had a detective on my radio program a couple of years ago, and he worked for their cyber division. And that's what he saw. He saw pornography. A lot of people thought it was pretty innocent. They would dabble and engage in it, but it lost its satisfaction. So they had to go for something a little bit more bizarre, a little more deviant, a little more, you know, whatever it might be. And in some cases, it has led men, when they began, who never thought they'd look at it, looking at child pornography. And that's the last thing that you'd ever want, you know, on your computer. And it's something that we've got to root out. And I see connection also to the human trafficking and a lot of this. It all feeds, you know, that particular industry. But that's the nature of it. This tweet that I received online, or that somebody sent to me, this person says, I've been ranting and raving against porn a lot more lately, because every day it seems like it's becoming clear to me how much the normalization of extreme and grotesque online porn has played a role in the gender phenomena in teenage boys and girls. I know you've written books about, you know, that about boys and girls, and I'd love to get your take on this. She says, I can only speak from the female perspective, but one can't help but notice there's been a sharp increase in teenage boys that think that they're girls. And many of them have highly erotic reasoning for this identity. A noticeable number of these MTF's perceptions is of what a girl is and what makes them a girl is often based on the outlandish fetishes and erotic ideas that have become much more prevalent with the mainstream of extreme pornography. In fact, in a recent survey of 100 detransitioners, from Lisa Littman, published in the Archives of Sexual Behavior, there are 12 total heterosexual men participants. Further along in the study, it shows that 12 males reported erotic motivations for changing their identity. Young people are now exposed to pornography, oftentimes before their puberty ever begins. So my question, she goes on, I could read more of this, but the introduction into the sexual sensation, to fantasy, the dynamics between men and women, when a child, even before that they're not even out of that period of latency, is exposed to this type of erotica, what's that do to a child, especially when they're being formed in terms of the direction they go? Could it lead them to have a misorientation? Could it let them, normal male child, think that he's a woman because he was excited by something he saw, or vice versa? Because we seem to see an increase in gender fluidity today, more than ever, people transitioning, being very public about it, homosexuality very, very much out in the open. And homosexuality is a little bit of a different issue, but I just wonder if that might, in some cases, a child from birth feels that way. In others, it might be an incident or something they were exposed to that may tilt the scales in that direction. But I love your thought. You're the physician.
Sure. Well, we've long known that women who have been sexually abused when they're children either go one of two ways. They don't want sex at all, or they become very, very, very promiscuous. So, and that's usually by just one event. But being exposed to pornography twists your thinking so much, and it is addictive because there's a sensation of, there's a high in getting deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And I think that not for all people wanting to transition, but for some, there's a sense that this is a sexual event that I need to find where it's going to go. The interesting thing is, though, in transitioning, they're almost neutering themselves because there's only so much surgeons can do to transition a man to a woman and a woman to a man. So in many ways, it completely disrupts, sexual activity. So it ends up doing the exact opposite of what kids or men or women think it's going to do. But I think the whole thing here is there's such confusion about what's normal, healthy sexuality and sexual activity. And then these kids are growing up in a culture that's saying, if you're feeling confused and you're doing these things, the answer is transition. And so I see parents through pushing their kids who say once or twice, I think I'd rather be a girl. Okay, I'm going to accept that I'm a cool parent. Let's go and do this. Yeah. But what they need to understand it. These kids are really confused.
It's so true. My guest, Dr. Meg Meeker. Doctor, let's grab a call or two before my next break comes up. If you want to get in, I only have a few moments left in today's broadcast. Maybe you're seeing this with your children. Maybe you're seeing it in the schools. Maybe you've personally had to deal with this in your relationship and your family. If you're just getting plugged in, we're talking about the effects of pornography on everything from the destructive nature of what it does to the marriage, to the mind, to the disorientation in sexuality and how it's become pushed and made mainstream in our culture today. Anne is listening in St. Paul, Minnesota. She wants to talk with you, Doctor. Good afternoon, Anne. You're on with Dr. Meg Meeker.
Thank you. I just want to her opinion on the perverted sex education that the children are getting in the schools. I mean, the kindergartners are being read I Am Jazz about transgender. You have fifth graders learning how to use condoms, and what does a fifth grader need to know how to use a condom for? Middle school and high schoolers are learning about anal sex and oral sex. This, I think, is not in addition to the internet. This is also a huge problem.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Before your question, I was just thinking that I wanted to bring that whole thing up with Drew before we're done. You're absolutely right. One of the things that I do, I'm on a board of Medical Institute for Sexual Health. It's a group of physicians who look at all the research and we're looking at what healthy sexuality and sexual activity is, which is basically none until you're married. Every parent needs to know what their kids are being taught in sex ed, because a lot of the sex ed curricula are pushed forward by an organization called CICUS, and they write the government standards for it. Okay, some schools implement it aggressively, some schools don't. But now we're seeing that parents aren't allowed to, go in the kids' schools and see this, and parents need to not accept it. You need to know If you have any question at all, pull your kids out. If my kids were in a public school, I would not let them go to sex ed. First of all, I'm the one to teach them about that. I want to teach them my views and feelings on it. I don't want a teacher doing it, but also a lot of the information is not medically accurate. It's not ethically accurate. It goes against what parents want for their kids, because most parents don't want to teach their fifth grade kid about a condom. And so, again, this is a political push by a political organization. If anybody has any question about what may be taught, you need to go to the SECUS, S-I-E-C-U-S website and see what their standards are. You'll gasp. So anyway, parents, you got to push, you got to know.
Thank you for your call. Wonderful comments. You're right on the money. I'm concerned very much about what we're seeing in our schools right now. My guest is Dr. Meg Meeker. Sean in San Diego, you're on deck. Approaching the final minutes of the broadcast. If you've got a question, a comment, you want to join us, pull up a chair. It's your last chance to do that. The numbers here, 888-914-9149. And if you missed any of the conversation, be sure and hit the podcast. You can listen to it again or share it with somebody who needs it. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
When I was 21, it was a summer's day and I was in my parents' house in England, and I just started like just crying. Just this rush of just tears. I was so desperate to recover, because it got so bad that I was like, I came to a crossroads. I was either going to kill myself, I was going to jump off a bridge, I had it planned, or I was going to improve my life. And I thought I'd just give this, improve my life, a chance. Because then in that moment, I Googled porn addiction and found all the science about it. And I was like, yes, like everything just makes sense. Like my like the ED, everything that had been going on just suddenly made sense. And I felt like, wow, it just blew my mind that this was a thing, and that I had been so blind. I couldn't believe I was so blind to see that this was a serious problem in my life. And eventually with time, it sort of became easier to stop it. You know, and I just knew there was hope for the first time in my life. There was hope, there was like a light at the end of the tunnel. And then I met my girlfriend and there was just this connection, and I wanted to kiss her and do these things, and which I hadn't felt before, not for many, many years. And it was like, felt human again. I hadn't felt human for a long time, and I felt human again. I can't put it into words. It's something very beyond words, really.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's such an honest and raw statement. He felt human for the first time. You know, St. Jose Maria Escrivá, he once said that when you sought the company of a sensual satisfaction, he says, what loneliness afterward, right? That's what often happens. It is pornography more than anything, I think, is so unfulfilling. It always leaves you empty. It feels you flat. It leaves you flat. It leaves you dead. Leaves you lonely. And I think that's one of the great things that Satan loves to use today, doesn't he? He loves to separate us, make us feel alone, feel dirty. And that guy had indulged in pornography about 6 years, as you said, multiple times a day. It's part of an organization now called Fight the New Drug. And it is a drug. We talked about the psychological, the physiological effects, the addictive nature of pornography. What do you do? How do you find freedom from all this? I want to grab a few of your phone calls. I want to leave you with one thing. I want to make sure I get this in before time gets by. You know, you have to turn to the mercy of God. If you're struggling with an addiction, chemical, whether it is something like pornography, anything, you know, that you feel has a greater power over you, I want you to know that God ultimately has a greater power over it. And as a Catholic, you know, you have that sacrament of confession, that sacrament of reconciliation, where you will meet Christ personally, where you can open your heart and you can receive the healing grace that comes in that sacrament. You know, St. Isidore of Seville, he talked about how confession heals, how confession not only grants pardon for all of our sins, but it's a chance to experience the mercy of God. So don't hesitate, he says. Never despair of the mercy of God, you know. hope, have confidence in confession. And yet it's another one of these great deceptions of the day, because I think deeply rooted in pornography is a dark spirit. And Satan does not want you there. He wants to keep you away from there, make you feel unworthy, make you feel lonely, make you feel dirty, make you believe that, you know, you don't deserve the mercy of God. St. Faustina wrote, the greater the sinner, the greater the right that they have to his mercy. So on that note, I just want to leave you with a kind of a spiritual insight on that. Trust in the mercy of God. Turn to him. You can find healing and you can find freedom from this. I'm delighted to have back with me a very gifted physician. Dr. Meg Meeker joins me today. She's written a number of books for both men, for girls, and for boys. And doctor, you have a total, what, 6 books?
Yeah.
So, and if people want to...
I'm thinking about one on grandparenting, just because I'm grandparenting. I'm learning all the rules in grandparenting.
That's awesome. Well, doctor, let's do this. Let's go to the phones. We only have a few moments left. Let's go to Sean, who's been waiting in San Diego. We'll take his call as well. Sean, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Good afternoon, doctor.
Hi.
Yeah, I struggled with pornography for a long time. And through the grace of God, like Drew was just stating, I was able to get out of it. But there are triggers still to this day. And it's been years since I've watched pornography or anything like that, but there are triggers, and I'm wondering if, like, psychologically, if there's something more I can do to strengthen myself, because I'm married to a woman that I don't deserve, and I have a beautiful daughter, and I just want to keep. I don't ever want to go back. That's one thing. Never do I want to go back, and I want to just try and keep myself going in the right direction. Which I have been, but is there anything psychologically, because that'd be the only thing that I think is really would really hinder me, is like something that triggers me.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's a great point.
That is good. First of all, I wouldn't be afraid, you know, because fear will take you down. Here's what will happen over time. The more you talk to those triggers, you feel a trigger, you say, I'm not going down that road. The more you do that, the less powerful the triggers will be. And this we see this with alcoholics, people with eating disorders. The triggers feel very powerful in the first couple of years that you're out. But the more you recognize that they're there and the more you combat them and don't cave to them, that's when they lessen in their intensity. You may always have triggers, but they're not going to get stronger. They're going to weaken the more you combat them. I think you're well on your way. I don't think you should be afraid. You know, be on your toes. But it sounds like you've really set yourself up for success. So congratulations to you.
Yeah, Sean, hang in there. We'll be praying for you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's all in God's hands. And then... theology of the body really helped too.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's excellent suggestion. Read that John Paul's brilliant work. I think it'll be eye-opening for a lot of people. But I think Sean's on the right path. I mean, life is a struggle. There are triggers that send somebody to want to eat too much or drink too much or engage in pornography. And he's on the right path. And his wife, I think, is lucky to have him. He deeply loves her, as you could hear. Doctor, only a couple moments left. We can grab another call. I got to make this quick, though. So Paul in St. Louis, Missouri. I'll sneak you in. You got to make it kind of quick if you could.
Okay, thank you. Hello, Drew.
Hi, Paul.
I love your show. But anyway, thanks. I have bipolar, and I've spoken with many. I've been in therapy, talked to a couple of spiritual advisors, and one of the symptoms of bipolar is hypersexuality. So I have a strong sexual need, and yep. I have to gratify myself, you know, almost on a daily basis, and I never feel empty inside. So I disagree with what you guys are saying about feeling empty inside. I don't look at pornography, but it's a need I have, and I have to fulfill it. Because I'm divorced and I don't have a spouse, and I have to gratify myself.
All right, Paul, thank you.
I don't feel guilty for doing it.
All right, let me, and I'm glad you called. So, doctor, there's a, I don't know whether it's an anomalous case or there's probably a lot of other people saying the same thing. I don't feel guilty, right? What would you say to Paul? Of course, we know, you know, he may have a medical condition, but you know, I don't want to justify, as he put it, the self-gratification. Church is pretty clear on that. But I'll let you have the final thoughts here. I only have about a minute and a half for you.
I think that deep down, men who say it does gratify them know it really doesn't, because they're experiencing a relief and a sensation. But every man knows there's more. And certainly, if you're a single man, pornography and recurrent self-satisfying behavior is very bad for you. I mean, it's very, very harmful, because it can lead to more addiction. So I think they know that, but there's still a way out. And I do think the fact that they don't feel guilty, and they say they don't feel guilty, lets me know that something is underneath that, because I think everybody knows that that is not healthy. I would also encourage you, because I totally understand what you're saying with the bipolar disorder, you've got to get that treated. I would take medication. I don't know if you're taking medication. That's going to have a profound effect on this.
Well, doctor, I'm grateful for your time. Thank you for being here. Thanks for the wisdom, shining a light on all this. I hope people will follow you online. We'll have a link up for Dr. Meeker there. And if you want to listen to this again, please check our podcast.